Lord, we just thank you for this time and for your activity in our lives. Thank you, Father, for fathering us, Jesus, for being our husband and the head that cares for us, Lord, as your own members, and Holy Spirit, for using everything in our life to bring us into the reality of Christ, not as a stranger anymore, but as the one we exist by and are held together by and filled with as his very own resurrected body. We just need you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We love you, and we rely upon you. We do not trust in ourselves, and we thank you for the journey that you are bringing us on in our lives right now, and the things that are in your heart that we have yet to enter into, Lord. We want to, and we just look to you. We open our hearts to you. We open our hearts to you. Have your way, Lord. Have your own way. And we just pray this in Jesus' name, one with him. Amen. Amen. Well, this class, we are going to be looking at the areas that are on pages 24 through 26 of your book. And we'll be covering as much of that portion of the Emmaus Road book as the Holy Spirit would have us look at. And we will start with just looking at Luke chapter 24 and verse 27. And here it says, "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." And we'll just read that one more time. "And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself." And I have just a few notes, but to trigger some thoughts that the Spirit was giving me in relation to this for us. I have written, when the head of the new resurrected body opens the scriptures concerning himself, that is quite an experience. Now, these guys are disciples, so they have walked with Jesus and one another, and they have walked with the scriptures for many, many years. And obviously, they would be very, very familiar with them and taught many things from the Lord in the scriptures. But once again, we are on a journey for real, not in a class, but we really are on a journey with the Lord in the fulfillment of what these scriptures mean for us as the body of Christ. And in this journey, we are wanting to enter into knowing the resurrected Christ in the way he wants to be known by the body that he just rose with, the body that he just got. So these are some basic things, but they are world-shaking. Forget the world. They're going to shake us until we're him, not us, things. And so in this verse, we see that the resurrected head of his new body has just approached them on the third day, the day of his resurrection. Okay, now let's just remove ourselves from all former understanding and religious understanding of this. Let me put it to us this way. How would you like, on the very day that Jesus rose from the dead, the real Easter morning, for Jesus Christ, fresh from the womb of the morning, fresh from being resurrected from among the dead, fresh from the reality that he just went through hell and was not held in corruption because his Father just raised him up, a new man in a new form. He was the firstborn now among many brethren. This guy's brand new, and it's all exploding as reality in him. What if that Jesus walked up to you on that very day and started expounding, starting with Moses and the prophets, what was the scriptures were concerning himself? What do you think that would be like? Now, we're used to, you know, sitting down to the dinner table with the everyday Jesus that we know, that's kind of become bland and boring, and the nominal one that opens up the word to us and shares some neat things, and they stir something in our spirit and carry us for a couple hours, couple days maybe, and sow some seeds into our inner man. But this Jesus found these disciples as they were talking about what just happened to him, and this Jesus decided to open up the scriptures and begin to show them what they meant according to who he is, him in resurrection. Now, their hearts begin to burn within them at a certain point. I mean, we're not going to skip, but this is pretty powerful stuff. Now, I'm just going to read a couple scriptures, one from the Old Testament, y'all can turn there, and one from the New Testament, declaring this new man that Jesus now is and that these disciples now are, Jesus as the head of his body and the disciples and us as his members. Now let's first look at it in Psalm 132 and verse 11. And we're familiar with this beautiful, wonderful psalm because it declares David's heart to build the Lord a habitation, which is really a type of David saying, I want to be the place that you live, the house that you can dwell in. I want the people that I'm king over to be a place where you can call home. And we recently in our local gathering here had an entire series called God's Heart for a Habitation. It was like about a 13-part series just focusing on that, and that scripture was central to that sharing. But here we're going to go a little further down from the verses we were looking at and just read something concerning the body of Jesus and resurrection. And here we go. Psalm 132, verse 11. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David. He will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children will keep my commandment and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon my throne forever. Okay, let's go back to verse 11. The Lord hath sworn in truth unto David. He will not turn away from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. Hallelujah. Okay, we'll look at that more. Let's just look at a scripture in the New Testament that corresponds with that. In Acts chapter 2, starting with verse 29. And this is after Peter has received the Holy Spirit. And with the coming of the Holy Spirit, the scriptures are beginning to open concerning their fulfillment and reality in the risen Christ. Starting with verse 29 in Acts chapter 2. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet, being that David was a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel, know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Hallelujah. Let's simplify that. the Jesus that they crucified, God hath made Lord, number one, as the ruler of heaven and earth, but Christ, the anointed from whose beard drippeth the oil to the whole body. In other words, that Jesus, God, rose up from the dead, and the fruit of his body will sit upon thy throne. In other words, when that Jesus rose from the dead, his body rose up with him and sat at the right hand of the majesty on high. In other words, Peter, under the inspiration and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, began to realize the mystery that the Jesus that rose from the dead has a body. Doesn't it say thy children? Verse 12, if thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon my throne forever. Their children, in other words, his offspring, his seed, all that is his flesh as a resurrected new man, will sit upon that throne in Christ in heavenly places. It talks about that in Ephesians, doesn't it? Okay, why are we looking at these scriptures right now? Because it's important to realize all this was happening right around the time of this Emmaus Road thing. It's just about a month later. That this is the stir of the Spirit of God at that time. This is the tension and the tenor of what was going on in manifestation in earth as it is according to what was going on in the heavens, which is that Jesus has risen from the dead and he's got a body. And it was prophesied by David as a type of a king who would sit on the throne, but that his own flesh, well, it says it right there, the fruit of his body would sit with him. His children would sit upon the throne with him. His members, his flesh. Okay, so when Jesus is opening the scriptures concerning himself, like these scriptures, this is himself. This is Old Testament stuff fulfilled in you know, the Emmaus Road guys' buddies seeing that what David was talking about, their greatest king hundreds and hundreds of years ago, was being fulfilled right now, and they were a part of it. And this Jesus that was just crucified 2 days earlier is now Lord and Christ, signifying head of a body, and that they are the offspring and the children that are on the throne with him. Now, this is radical stuff. But Jesus is coming, the head himself, not Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, but the risen head of the new body himself is coming to the disciples who are now his members and opening up the scriptures from his own mouth. Now, you tell me that's not going to make your heart burn in you. You want to know what it's like to walk down the Emmaus Road journey? That's what it's like. Jesus, the head of his own body, starts opening up the scriptures concerning what it means to him who wants to know he's got a new body and you're it. And that's what that scripture meant to me concerning himself. All the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And that's what it meant to me. And you're part of it, and you're part of it, and you're part of it. And I will not allow you to just walk around talking about that Jesus of Nazareth was crucified on a tree and we hoped it would work, but we're not so sure now and we really like the guy. I am going to bring you in to what I'm in, because we're in it together, because you're up there on the throne with me. David said it. Peter was going to say it. The scriptures declare it. Something has happened, and it happened to us. See, that's what the Jesus is saying. Yeah, go.
Say, it's me, Jesus. Because he could have done that. In a sense, he was pointing to the word, like, you're going to have to come here to know me. Like, he expounded. He didn't just say, I'm Jesus. You know, take his hood off or whatever.
Yes.
He expounded from the word, like, as my body, this is where we come. This is where Christ is revealed. You know, and he was sowing the seeds of that right away. You know, immediately after his resurrection.
Yes.
You know, like, this is how I'm known. You
yes.
know.
That's good. You guys heard that, so I don't have to say it. Yeah, I mean, he is. And yet these dudes, okay, cultivating relationship with the Holy Spirit, but here's the other side. These dudes were used to scriptures. And, I mean, these are the Jews from Jerusalem, nay, not just Jews, disciples. Nay, not just disciples, disciples talking about his crucifixion. They are in to the thing. Okay. But Jesus says, listen, boys, I got something for you. A step beyond. all that parchment that you're familiar with and all that tradition and all that David and all that Moses and all that Elijah. I mean, these are big God, Abraham, all these guys. Right here, buddy, right here. What you mean? No, I mean right here and right there. Right there. Flesh and bone, flesh and bone. What you mean, flesh? I mean flesh and bone, flesh and bone. I don't know how else to say it. It ain't paper no more, buddy boy. We're it. And guess what you are? You're a living epistle. Why? Because you're my body. Because my spirit found a house in you, my member. Well, we've learned all this. We know the paper of it. We know the chalkboard of it. They knew the teaching of it. But that's why they needed to leave the religious hub of Jerusalem and meet a stranger. Because they were the flesh and bone of it now. And they needed to enter into that relationship. And the man who's opening the scripture wasn't just a sage with the depths of God's knowledge he wanted to impart to them as not just a good teacher, the Nazarene, but a resurrected teacher at the right hand, from the right hand of majesty on high. Oh no, sir. He's not going to be the teacher from on high who's got incredible insight into heavenly things now that he's raised from the dead. So boy, the things he can show me now, sending his spirit to open up the scriptures. Oh no, sir, no, sir, no, sir, no, sir. Can you be like Josiah and say, this is sin? I thought I knew that parchment. But I don't want an ascended, resurrected teacher. I need the head of the body. Talk to me like his own member. You see the difference? Resurrected teacher still makes you busy about the things of God, seeing deep things, being all important. But when you realize that these, that scroll that they found, that these things written down are meant to be heard from the head of whose body you now are. Oh man, that's different. That's different. Because that living head is standing right next to them right there on that road, and he's starting to talk about what it means to him. And he's relating to them in a way that he says, hey, I'm not trying to teach you like my disciples anymore. You're my arm. You're my hand. You're where my heart lives. My mind flows into you. If you can't relate to me as head, what do we got now that I'm raised from the dead? What do these things mean if you take them into your own brain? Their hearts started burning in them, but why? Because it was the first time they heard their head say it. Do you see the person who they were now joined to that is the word, the source? When they heard their head say it, as members receiving it. Oh, now that's different. Why? Because not that they even understood it, but something in them burned and said, oh, did not our hearts burn in us when he spoke? I mean, I've heard preachers, maybe they even heard Jesus of Nazareth speak when he was walking with his disciples, and there may be something in them, like they said in Matthew after the Sermon on the Mount, they were amazed. It says his disciples were amazed. The multitudes were in awe. And you know what I'm saying? And a leper worshipped, but anyway. But they said, you know, we really were in awe when we heard him speak. But now when this man speaks to us, this stranger, my heart burns. Why does my heart burn? Because that ain't just the teacher. That ain't just the Messiah talking. That ain't just the preacher and the Holy Spirit opening up stuff to make you deep in your head. That's your head talking, telling you what's going on because you're his body. And that word is flowing into you concerning him who is your life. Living union, no more dead religion. It's over, 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 over. Hallelujah. He is breaking them out of the old covenant and bringing them into life. These things are trappings. We got to have them. Nay, we've got to have them and the risen head expounding upon them according to his heart, right? We gotta. Or we are the head. Our mind retains. We're being taught, related to heart learning, as a student in a desk, across from somebody that you're not joined to. But after day three, after resurrection day, it would never be that way again. We may be that way because we don't know it, but that's why this journey happens, because now it's going to be new. And that's, you know, every single, from the little pinky toe to the little freckle on the elbow to the big old nose to the flappity-flappity mouth to the neck to the liver to the spleen to everything in between is him now. Okay, it's him. You go, but I'm not a doobie-doo. I'm not a Bible school student, and I'm not a minister, and I don't see these things. Listen, you are him. You're his bone. You're his flesh. Jesus said, what you've done to the least of these, my brethren, that I will be the firstborn among the dead of, the body of my new body, you've done it to me. You are more than a Bible school student, more than a minister, more than an evangelist, more than an important person in the religious community on earth. You are me. When did that happen? On day three, when I rose from the dead and I came to you as your head, not your minister organizer, not your duty roster, not your pump you up evangelist. Jesus needs to speak to us as his own body. And that's when our hearts burn in us. Why? Because we go, oh, yes. Oh, yeah, when you speak like that, everything in me responds, because that's who I'm joined to. I am. That's who I am. That's not what I do. That's not what tickles my ear or tickles my, you know, motivate. My whole body just goes, one with him. I've been raised up, and that's who I am now. Oh, your heart burns. Well, that's a relationship we need, not with the Word of God, with the head of the risen body, who will then open up the scriptures to us and speak them from a flow as the anointed into his own home, members, being. It requires relationship. Daily, momently union. We can't do that. We have no clue. But the Holy Spirit does it. He was doing it in Peter. The Holy Spirit's working on Peter in Jerusalem, and Jesus is working on the guys in Emmaus. I mean, the Godhead is on the loose. They are going to make it real in this new body. They're still going. We're all joined all through the ages. Without each other, we're not complete, it speaks of in Hebrews 11. We're one, and we're his, and he is in us, and we're joined to him and each other. And they are let loose. But notice, they were let loose, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, even before day three. Because starting with Moses, it's testifying about this thing that's going to happen. I mean, the himself, I personally believe that he's opening and expounding from the scriptures upon is the resurrected himself. I mean, I think he's saying, look at this. Right here in Moses, it was talking all about me dying and bringing forth a new man. And right here and right here and right here and right here. The me that I think he's talking about is the us that he now is. Hallelujah. Can you just think about it? That you've had this mentality for all these years, and then this risen Christ, who is now the head of his church, opens up every scripture and says, there you were in my heart, there you were in my heart, there you were in my body, my desire from before the foundation of the world, purposed, predestined to be in me, to be joined, to be a partaker of my life through union. Hallelujah. Oh, there is a burning in relationship to the word that comes from our risen Christ. Our God is a consuming fire. And all that masquerades in the temple as the sun will be removed and utterly consumed. So when we begin to open up into a relationship with Christ now, not just as teacher or word revealer or this and that, then there is a lamp that begins to enter, that begins dividing out what is us from what is him. And this really happens in a greater measure when we comprehend that it's by him all things consist, him who the Father has made the head of the body. It's by him all things are held together. It's by in him and through him that all fullness dwells. In other words, I've got my own thing going on in my mind, and I've got my own motives going on in my heart. They may be religious and Christ-like motives, but when Jesus comes to his own temple, there isn't one lamb or bleeding sheep or money changer's table that's going to remain in that temple, because he's going to turn it over and drive it out. Why? Because when the word comes from him who is the word, the head, the fullness, nothing else can really remain. Now, when we see things in the scriptures, or when the Holy Spirit gives us some insight, a lot of that stuff can remain. There are a lot of things that survive when we see things in the word. How do we know that's true? From our own personal experience. How many times have you seen something so phenomenal in the word of God and cried and wept and shared it in the power of the Holy Spirit and thought that the whole world, you know, was going to change because of it, and then 2 weeks or 1 week or 2 days later, you were there again. Just you. Do you see what I'm saying? But when you begin to enter into a relationship where nothing's being added to you anymore, you're added to him. There's a difference. It's all, the universe is of difference. He no longer is adding something to you. The doctrine that you are learning is no longer added to you. Now you're in a relationship where you've been added to him. You've been added to him as his body. And the word is no longer doctrine that gets added to you. Your whole approach is it to speak thy servant here. Speak thy body needeth life that is coming from you who knoweth and seeth and floweth into all your members. See the difference? Well, when that heart begins to be set in that direction, that's when nothing can survive the coming of the Lord. Because he's coming into his own temple and he's being received as the one whose temple it is. And it's a difference of the motivations of the heart. And so there's times when the word of God comes in like a sword to do what? To divide out those motivations. And ultimately those motivations are going to say, I've been relating to the word to add something to me, which is the soul, it's the flesh, instead of me being added to him. Why is that word coming? Because he's got a body and I'm it. Why is that word sent forth and written down? Because he's got a body and it's releasing life into his members. So why do I search it in this old way? Because my motives are selfish. So why is he coming right now like a sword to divide that out so I can turn my heart and join to him in the way that he died to bring us forth into? So that I can make a choice to say, I'm going to relate to you, Lord, as the one that I'm added to now. Speak, not things randomly. Speak what's flowing in from your heart and your mind and your view. Speak the words concerning yourself, how you feel, how you think, where you're at. And, you know, this is his desire now.
But he says it, though, that you cannot be my disciples. So that the stranger part of it is that we're not familiar. It's so different. And so it's not that we're a stranger or that he is a stranger to us. It's just that it's way different.
I love the spirit that she said that in, because it is the spirit of the Lord's heart for his own body. And that is, yeah, it's not that he's a stranger in the sense that we're not beloved and one with him. And it's not that we want him to be a stranger because we love him. It's just we haven't learned. We haven't known. We haven't found out and discovered what's happened. And we couldn't until he came to us and opened our eyes and opened our hearts and approached. Yeah, there's nothing we could do except wait for the Lord to help us. And he's a stranger. Not because they don't love him, because they do. I think that Jesus approached these two guys because they really loved him and they were really seeking him. And I mean, it's a big honor for one of the first people that ever walked with Jesus and hear the word of God from his mouth I mean, so these guys were incredible, really. Their hearts were commendable. I mean, God himself picked them out. But he also said, you're slow of heart to believe. And he called them fools. Okay, so we covered that, but why would we bring that up again? Simply because when he says stranger, when he says foolish and slow of heart to believe, he's not saying, I don't love you. I don't receive you as my own now and forevermore. He's saying, I've got to bring you in. I've got to bring you in. I need you to be with me in the way that we really are. And so those words aren't meant to condemn us or even make us feel that he doesn't deeply love us. They're meant to draw us into an awareness that we don't know him yet. Sometimes the Lord has to speak that way, and some people aren't that way. I am. He has to just stop me in my hard-headed tracks. I have to run up against a brick wall and say, I don't know him like I thought I did. And it's not that he's hard-hearted, it's that I'm hard-headed. And I am never going to believe that I don't know him in the way that he wants me to know him unless something just shakes me up and says, there's more. And you know, I wouldn't think it'd be very loving for him to not do that when I want to know him that bad. I mean, I would think the tender mercies of the Lord hath afflicted me that I might truly know him. So it's just, it's love. It's pure. Well, we were talking about it in our last class a whole bunch. You know, when he left the Shulamite and she's freaked out and he's not, you know, coming back to be with her, and he's removed himself and left her in this dark little room in the night freaking out. It's not that he's being mean, and it's not that he's rejected her. It's that it's going to take a certain amount of something to bring her to the place where she begins to pursue him properly. And if you really are his disciple, if you really are in the business of being made a son by Christ, then no bar is held for you. You know, you'd be wise to find his heart. So when these circumstances and things come to you, you can understand what's going on and not take it wrong. You know, because it's pure love, man. It's 100% accept. Why would he invest this kind of time in you if he wasn't just deeply, deeply towards you? Amen? And so, you know, I think it's good. But, you know, one of the next verses, it talks about him making as if he's going to pass on. Let's see where that scripture is. I don't have it written down here, but it speaks of it here in Luke 24, where he makes as though he's going to keep going, and the disciples constrain him to stay with him. And so even at this point, the disciples are like, or Jesus is like, okay, I'm going to move on down the line and keep going. And they had to draw him back. So, I mean, he comes up to them, hears all this stuff, calls them foolish of heart and slow to believe, expounds on the scriptures, and then makes as if he's going to go on, In other words, he's not making himself just totally available. He's just not making it completely easy. He's saying, if something in you just catches any kind of a whiff of this, there's something here, man, then it's your responsibility to bring me back on in to finish the deal. Right? And, you know, we kind of, I know I do, want to just sit there and go, Lord, I'm a dummy. I'm foolish of heart, slow to believe, hard-hearted, hard-headed. I should have known you, and now I'm just moving into depression because here I am, a disciple who doesn't really have the relationship you want, and I am a loser, and even God is disappointed in me. Just go find someone worth your time. Because I'm just a loser. Okay. No. That's so not the heart of Jesus. Number one, you're not a loser, you're his flesh and bone. Number two, the guy came to you because he sees the potential. Yet there's two people on the planet he's even approached, and you're one of them, for God's sake. He knows what he's doing. Okay, that doesn't make you better than anything, but it doesn't. It means he's not calling you a loser. And that's the second time that's happened. I'm going to keep going, but Ben, you can check it out. And thirdly, this is the way he's using to bring us into a deeper relationship. And, you know, these little things are the things that can really snare us on our walk with the Lord. We can begin to get depressed or freaked out because Jesus begins to deal with you as his body. Okay? Let's just think about that for a second. We can begin to get depressed or freaked out because the Lord starts dealing with you, not as a student or a minister, but as his own body. And we start taking everything as rejection because he starts really dealing with you according to what he sees, what he knows. In other words, he deals with you as his own member. And therefore, you know what I'm saying? He's gonna know. But to us, we want to be treated like a baby. We want to be treated like a next-door neighbor. We want to be treated like a religious community that lives down the mountain and let Moses be like the body. Because that way we don't have to, you know, deal with him seeing everything that's not his life in us, speaking to us like, you know, we're the place where he dwells, being real about stuff because he's dealing with himself now. You know, Lord, I don't know, this is tough. I don't know if I can deal with this new relationship. I kind of liked sitting in a desk when you just told me stuff that I could put in my own brain and live through my own life. It was easier. It was funner. It was less depressing at times. You know, I prefer it. You didn't say things to me that, you know, sometimes could hurt my feelings when I'm not identified in you as your own flesh and bone. But that relationship is dead. It's gone. It's over. There's one relationship left after the grave in resurrection, and that is to be his own members. And he's going to talk to you that way. And that's because life is the issue now. Not duties, not doctrines, but his life in his people, whose people are now his members. And so there's a different reaction there, right? Well, that's love. That's perfect love. That's perfect love. He's not going to treat you like a stepchild. He's not going to treat you like a neighbor across the street. He's not going to treat you like somebody that's far away, not joined, right? And so if we can comprehend, begin to comprehend the heart of this new relationship and the motivation behind this new relationship, then we can begin to receive the words as they proceed from his mouth and not as they proceed from our fears and our old individual comprehension of things before we were made members of the risen Christ and of one another. And, you know, that takes a work of the Holy Spirit. That takes a work and a deep daily work to begin to transition our heart to respond to him and his words and his dealings not as a foreigner anymore. I mean, that's big. When the Lord starts really, really dealing with you, and he's dealing hard and heavy with you because that's my arm right there. You know, I'm not just talking to the servant out in servant quarters. That's my arm. And he's reaching all, you know, that's my own arm. And so when I speak to my own arm, there's going to be a little oomph there because I need to get my word into him so that my life can get into that member. And all that's not me and him needs to get out of there so I, see what I mean, can flow in my own body. Well, it's the highest point of acceptance and it's the highest point of being dealt with. But when we comprehend that, when the Holy Spirit comes and when dealings comes and when things start being manifest by the dividing of that word of life, we don't always go through the unnecessary turmoil of rejection or shame or fear or abandonment or torment or feeling like a fool in our understanding of that. We can line ourselves up with the body and with the head of the body and say, Lord, there's only one reason you're dealing with me this way. Number one, because you have received me as yourself through this resurrected new man. And number two, you will not quit with me until it really is you, because you have received me as yourself. Well, that's about perfect love. That's perfect love. And so you're able to be like a pliable, you know, piece of clay in his hand, in his nail-scarred hand, and say, listen, what man yet hateth his own body? You have received me enough to chastise me as your own son, and to deal with me as your own body, and to love me as someone that you're serious about, and that you want your word to become life in, because it's your body that you're talking to. Well, that's different. And when our hearts begin to make the leap from Jewish culture in Jerusalem before Jesus was crucified to an entirely new creation entering planet Earth, about to bring the life of God through a corporate man and shine to the othermost ends of this world. We got to make a leap, don't we? And that leap isn't always easy, but that's why God sent his son, not just to the world to die in a tree, but as a stranger to his own disciples, to help them make that leap, to help them come into that new relationship, to help them enter into the wonder and the joy and the fullness of life and the flow of life that can only happen in a relationship like this. And he takes them to the word and says, it's different now. It's different now. Because you're in a new relationship with God. And I'm speaking it to you in a different way. And he's going to start eradicating things. He's going to start filling things. It's going to begin to have a whole new spark. And before, things would resonate in our minds, but now a lamp is going to be lit in our innermost being. Our candle is going to get ignited. See? The candle that's never supposed to go out in the temple of the Lord. Word of God's going to begin to burn in our spirit like a light that's lit, and the spirit of man is going to be filled with the nature of God, and it's going to illuminate our... See what I'm saying? The word's going to begin to be like a lamp filling the temple, emanating the light of his life and clarifying everything by what's flowing into us through union with the risen head. Amen. Oh, that's different. Scriptures speak about it. You know, in the Old Testament, old Eli fell asleep and the light went out in the temple. Never was supposed to go out. You know, but there's a little boy just kept hearing the word of God, came to bring a light back into that temple, but came to bring David in, someone who would represent the risen Christ, a head over his body. He said, the light's going out in the temple. Why? Why is the light going out in the temple? Because there's no one sitting on the throne as the one that has life to fill the people of God with. The temple of God needs to be filled with life, and that's where the light comes. So Samuel, I'm going to start calling your name and say, and raise you up a priest. There is no open revelation in the word, because there's no one speaking life as a risen head to the body, type and shadow. But I'm going to bring a man named David, and he's going to represent the risen Christ with the body. And when he speaks the word, the light's going to come back on in the temple, and the life's going to come back into the people, and there's going to be a true picture of the risen Christ in the earth until the reality comes. It's hundreds of years later. Hallelujah. So the hearing of the word, the burning of the heart, the igniting of the spirit, the hearing of the word, the burning of the heart, the igniting of the spirit comes from Christ being the head, amen, of his own body. Speak the word to us, Lord, in a way that will ignite that candle again, that will burn in our hearts again, that will quicken our ears to hear what the true ears are hearing and saying. Father, let your word have entrance in a new way in our lives. Let the word sink deep in us. Father, we know that we struggle with just feeling condemned and feeling rejected, feeling cut off, feeling like a failure, feeling ashamed. But Jesus, all you're feeling is that we're joined to you. All you're feeling is acceptance. All you're feeling is the wonder of what has been brought forth in this new man. And you're earnestly, earnestly, with all your heart and love, trying to bring us into the real, real relationship and reality of that. And you've sent your spirit to walk alongside us and within us to bring us into the reality and the relationship of that. And Father, you're guiding us and using all things to help that happen. Lord, we want to make our hearts pliable. We want to turn and constrain the stranger to stay. Don't pass me by, please, please, please. Let this not be a moment where my heart burned in me, but then I went back to the same old relationship. I really, really need to be hearing your word, risen Christ, whom I'm joined to. I really need to receive what you have to say. I need to hear these things from you according to your view, according to the view of the one who I am just a member of. Father, let your word have entrance through the release of the anointed, speaking words of life into each member. Father, bring grace and peace to each heart here that's listening, that they can rest in the love of God, that he will bring us in as we continue to just constrain him to open our hearts to him. He will continue. This is his deepest desire. This is his desire. And Lord, I just ask that if the evil one is coming to anybody here to steal the seed of the relationship that is spoken of in your word for the body of Christ, we just bind you, we renounce you, and we do not listen to you, but we listen for the voice of the Lord. We listen for the Spirit of life, the Spirit of the Holy Spirit, who brings to us the heart and mind of our Lord and our risen head. And we do not submit to another. We will not submit to another, for we are joined to him in resurrected life. We are seated with him in heavenly places upon his throne. We are his offspring. We are his seed. We are his children. We are his brethren. We are his members. We are his bones. We are his flesh and we are his body. And we will not confess with our heart or our mouth another identity, but we confess with our heart and our mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, Jesus Christ is Christ, and Jesus Christ is head of his body of whom we are members. And that word is nigh us now. It's in our hearts and in our mouths because Jesus isn't coming back from the dead or coming down from heaven anymore. He's in us because we are one. This is the word of faith which we preach as his very body. And we do not preach on another level, and we do not speak from another position. We identify with you, Lord. We cleave to you, and we trust you to bring us into the fullness of this by your grace and your love, your patience and your kindness, your washing and your nurturing. And we pray these things in Jesus' name.